remember me. Remember me.
Oh, that's a good song. That's the voice of Barry McGuire, one-time lead singer with the New Christy Minstrels, and of course, a lot of good Christian music turned out over the years. Communion Song is called, Barry McGuire. It's 11 minutes after the hour, and we're joined by Dr. Don Clark. Don is a member of the board at Creation Moments and our resident biochemist. He informs us just about every Tuesday morning of things scientific. We talk about faith and science and creation and evolution and such things, and sometimes we talk about vitamins, which is what we're going to do today. Dr. Don, good morning to you. Don in Garden Valley, Texas. How are things down there?
Well, they're quiet at the moment,
but
we had a very interesting Sunday night, actually. We had quite the storm system that came through the area.
Tornadoes near you?
Very near. Oh. They were about 7 miles away from us in Van, Texas, and Van got hit really hard with the tornado. So about 30% of the town was affected, and we, as of yesterday, there were 2 deaths recorded. And we still have about 3 people unidentified or missing. So the count could go a little bit higher.
Now you're just about 80 miles east of the Dallas area, and yeah, they've had a long string of. I could see the whole Clark clan out there, spread eagled over the grapes, protecting them. As the hail and the thunder and they all...
Yeah, well, we weren't doing that. We were considering, okay, if a tornado comes, where do we go in the house?
Yeah.
In order to, you know, protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. But
do you have basements? Do you have basements in that part of the world there?
Well, it's interesting. We don't have a basement. We have under the house.
Like a crawl space?
I've got a little trap door in one of the bedrooms that actually does lead under the house so that we could have crawled under there if we absolutely needed to in order to get away from any tornadoes and the such. But we've got not necessarily around here, but in the in the Van area and north of Van, there's a lot of trees damaged, snapped in half, and houses have been, some houses have been leveled in Van, and other houses have, you know, major trees that fell on them. So there's quite a bit of damage
around
here.
A lot of work and then people, people taking care of things. Well, that's a sad story. And then hopefully it's gone on by. And you'll be in the clear here for a while. I do have an idea for you, though. This is, seeing as how you raise grapes, you have a vineyard there. You could build a storm cellar, a rather luxurious one, probably. I can see you going down a couple stories, maybe like a 20 by 40. And, of course, you'd call it a wine cellar. You could write the whole thing off.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah?
Yeah, we would have to have constant pumps going, though, because the...
for the wine or for water?
It's quite high.
Oh, okay.
Really?
We would have to get the water out of the cellar. That would be the problem.
Well, I just call it a swimming pool, then, I suppose you could call it.
Yeah, the water table right now happens to be at the surface.
it's been a wet spring.
Water in the vineyard again, which is not good.
Yeah. Well, listen, Don, I'm holding in my hands. You can see it here. This it says vitamin D3.
Now, I have
to ask you, whatever happened to vitamin D1 and 2? Don't know.
Well, those are just different derivatives of the chemical compound vitamin D, and the D3 is the one that is most useful, you know, for us. So it's better. Well, if you're going to take vitamin D, take vitamin D3. And that will help. Actually, the best thing you could do is to go out in the sunshine, because obviously our skin is the greatest manufacturer of vitamin D and the right form of vitamin D. But I know it's hard for you folks up in the northern countries
here
to get
East Dakota,
enough sunshine.
Yeah. Well, how long sunshine? Each one of these little, this is a little gel capsule. It's round like a pea, and it's about the size of a pea. and it contains 5,000 IUs. I think that's international units, isn't it? I don't know how big that is or how little. How long do I have to go stand in the sunshine to get 5,000 international units worth of natural sunshine vitamin D? You have any idea? How do you equate those things?
Well, there are researchers that definitely have equated that, mm-hmm. And it depends on where you are. Obviously, if you've got direct sunlight and you're closer to the equator, you don't have to stand outside very long. Mm-hmm. But if you're further north, then you're not getting necessarily direct sunlight, so you'll have to be out there a little bit longer. But 20 minutes in bright sunlight should do it, 20 minutes to an hour. Fair-skinned people might, if they come down to Florida or here to Texas, would easily get burned very quickly mm-hmm. if they got that much sun.
Well, it's kind of a trade-off, isn't it? Because everybody's saying stay out of the sun now. Wear a hat. Keep wear long sleeves. Kind of like farmers used to do. I remember my wife's father used to farm down in South Central Kentucky, and in hearing her stories, he never left skin exposed to the sun. It was always long sleeve and collars up and everything, and that was hot and humid weather. Is there a balance here? Is the sun dangerous, or is it our friend?
It's a little of both, and it's interesting because the vitamin D story fits into all of this. Because, mm-hmm. of course, you've heard that too much sun exposure is going to give you skin cancer. And we don't necessarily want skin cancer, but vitamin D actually fights skin cancer and prevents it, and fights cancer in general.
Well, how ironic is that?
One of the major benefits of taking vitamin D and being vitamin D and getting vitamin D, manufactured in our skin. So, sunscreens, for example, are the primary sunscreen is a UVB blocker, mm-hmm. and all that means is the UVB. There's two forms of ultraviolet light. One is UVB, the other one's UVA. The UVB is the shorter wavelengths of light, and tend to burn us faster and quicker. And the UVB are longer wavelengths and penetrate a little bit deeper. Can cause, obviously, sunburn as well, but takes a little bit longer because they're longer wavelengths and not as high of energy. Mm-hmm. But in this whole story, it's the UVB that the body uses, the skin uses, to form vitamin D. So, for example, if you go outside and you put on sunscreen and you say, okay, I'm going to get my 20 minutes of sun exposure today so I can get a good dose of vitamin D, well, you're not going to get vitamin D because the sunscreen is blocking the ultraviolet light that you need in order to form vitamin D. So it's a little bit of a balance. You got to get your skin used to, sun exposure. I think when we were originally designed, we were designed to be able to withstand, some sun exposure, it was absolutely necessary, for us, and it's still necessary to get some sun exposure. The problem is our society. Most people, work indoors and live indoors and very rarely get any sun exposure until you maybe go on vacation and you go down to Florida or the coast somewhere and you say, oh boy, this is great. Your skin's not used to getting that much sun all at once and you get burned very, very easily.
I don't suppose computer screens would give you that, would they? I mean, I'm surrounded. I've got three computer screens around me here.
No.
I don't know if this is a tan or just dust from sitting here. I'm not sure.
No UVB there. I'm sorry.
Well, let me ask, is there an artificial source for this kind of light that would be beneficial and provide vitamin D for you?
Well, there are obviously... you can go into suntan parlors and be exposed to UV ultraviolet light. You got to be careful there though, because it's very, very intense, And again, you know, your body is designed quite elegantly. And if you get a little bit of light exposure, then your body says, oh, I need to protect, you know, protect the skin, especially for us ferret skin folks, mm-hmm. or Europeans or descendants of Japheth, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, we our skin tends to be a lot fairer than the Hams and the Shems, the Shemites, for example. And so we need the buildup of melanin, and melanin is a natural pigment in your skin, and that's you know what makes you get tanned, for example, is mm-hmm. a buildup of melanin. So you want to build up melanin relatively slowly, and so you get a little bit of exposure, and then that triggers the skin and the skin cells to say, hey, we need to make some melanin. They make a little bit of melanin. You get a little bit more light exposure, mm-hmm. and you get a little bit tanner. And then, you know, by the end of summer, you're nice and tan if you've done it properly, and you can take actually quite a bit of sunlight exposure, mm-hmm. you know, at that point in time. So our bodies have a built-in mechanism for protecting us. It's just that we aren't necessarily in the sun every day.
So you're saying that a suntan actually protects us?
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah, it does protect us. But, you know, you got to get it, you know, naturally to mm-hmm. try to artificially, you know, get a suntan using the suntan, you know, parlors and these suntan mm-hmm. tables
yeah.
Can be dangerous, especially if you, you know, sit under them for too long at any particular time. So you want to gradually build up, you know, the melanin and the mm-hmm. pigment in your skin, rather than say, okay, well, I'm going to do this once because it's, you know, I don't want to spend $50 or whatever they charge you.
Yeah.
You have to do it over a period of time. And like I said, the best exposure is the sun exposure.
Now we're talking around two articles on Mercola.com about vitamin D today. And I noticed in one of those two articles, it talks about incandescent bulbs actually providing the right frequency spectrum of light to best simulate natural sunlight. Did you read that part? Does that make sense to you?
I must have skipped that part. Yeah. Maybe I did read it at one point in time, but it's not.
Well, the point was that it's the very kind of light bulb that's under government mandate to disappear now. To save energy. So we're going to be surrounded with fluorescent bulbs, which do not do the same thing.
Well, and LED bulbs, which, you know, don't do the same thing either, because yeah. they have a tighter, you know, wavelength spectrum. The mm-hmm. the incandescents are, you know, they do give you a pretty broad spectrum of light, and it's more natural light, obviously, than any of those that we talked about here.
So, David, you and I, before we retire to our caves for the great crash, we should be stocking up not only on AA batteries, but on incandescent light bulbs as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that would be a wise thing.
Well, we want to make sure that the incandescents we do have fit the sockets in the cave.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah. That's good.
I have to check to make sure, because I think those might be fluorescent sockets.
That would be a problem.
In my cave, at least in my
your cave.
Cave.
Oh, we've got to get that fixed mm-hmm. right now.
I'll check on that today.
Don, I'm looking at my bottle of vitamin D3 here, and each one of these little round soft gels, they call them, have 5,000 international units, and I'm looking at the back to get the ingredients in this. Now, this is the kind of vitamin D3 you would buy in a health food store. It's the brand is Now. I don't know what that means, but because my wife does all that. But I'm noticing that vitamin D3 is called, see if I can pronounce this, colocalciferol.
And it's that's pretty good.
Derived from lanolin. Sheep make vitamin D for us, eh?
Well, it's an oil soluble vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
And so the vitamin D that's in that capsule is in some type of oil as
well,
its base.
Yeah, the capsule has olive oil in it, and then just the soft the gel material, glycerin and water and stuff. But so mm-hmm. it's basically mm-hmm. olive oil and this colocalciferol from lanolin. I'll bet that if you go down to the petting zoo and hug a sheep, you get a dose of vitamin D. What do you think?
Well, you'd have to lick the sheet.
Touching is not going to be good.
There goes that idea. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you had lamb, I mean, you could eat the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
That would bring off something that happens to disc jockeys quite a bit. Usually in the middle of the show, they get cotton mouth.
Oh, you. It'd be wool mouth then, wouldn't it?
Or, yeah, wool mouth.
Or like you said, you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'll quit now.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Just fade David into the back. Well, so Don, 5,000 international units. This is, if I look at a standard vitamin pill, it says like something like 60 international units is the recommended daily amount for vitamin D. Dr. McCullough is saying that's not near enough.
Oh, yeah. No, you need, and, you know, these two articles, you know, definitely point out in the reasons why. I mean, when the recommended daily dose for vitamin D was actually being calculated, they made a mistake. They made a calculation error, the researchers who were doing this, and they underestimated the amount of vitamin D that you need by at least tenfold and maybe 15-fold.
Oh, okay.
And typically what you would do is you'd look at a population, you'd look at the, you know, your population, you say, okay, well, you know, if for folks to be healthy, how much of this particular vitamin do they actually need? And you need basically two sigmas or two standard deviations worth of the amount so that you're covering at least 97.5% of the population with the recommended dose. And I don't know what sigma, they maybe only used one sigma or less, but the recommended dose that they came up with was more around like 400 or 600. And so that's why when you have just a multiple vitamin, it'll have only that much in it.
Okay, so not 60, but 600. I remembered it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, about 400 or 600. And you really need the very minimum is closer to 6,000, if not, you know, 8 or 9,000
mm-hmm.
Units. So if you're not getting any sun, then you probably should take two of those capsules, two of the 5,000, you know, capsules, maybe one in the morning, one in the evening. That should get you up to a basal level of vitamin D, you know, in your bloodstream. And that amount depends on your age and depends on, you know, how healthy, you know, you are. Mm-hmm. The optimal level, for example, is 50 to 70 nanograms per milliliter of vitamin D or 25 hydroxy vitamin D in your blood system. You know, the 400 or the 600 that you would take wouldn't even get you up to 10 mm-hmm. nanograms per milliliter. Mm-hmm. And if you have cancer or heart disease or diabetes or something, then you want to be up in the 70 to 100 nanograms per mil. So, you know, the people who are, for example, who have any of those conditions should be taking at least 10,000 units of vitamin D, you know, per day. The one thing about vitamin D, you almost can't take enough of it.
So you can't overdose on it.
Well, they haven't found a dose that would be toxic to you, even as high as 50,000 units of vitamin D. So we don't have to. It's not like vitamin A, for example, where you could get vitamin toxicity. Mm-hmm. Vitamin D seems to be something that you know, is not only well tolerated, you know, in our bodies, but is absolutely needed for good health and for fighting cancers and stuff. And you might ask, well, you know, why is vitamin E, vitamin D, you know, so necessary in these processes? I mean, it's only a little vitamin. It's a fat soluble vitamin. And you know, why, why is that? Well, you know, we know that, for example, you're pretty much, I would guess, most people know that vitamin D is absolutely necessary for calcium absorption. Mm-hmm. But it's also necessary for iron absorption and magnesium absorption and phosphate absorption and zinc absorption. And all of those are, you know, necessary for life.
So it helps get other needed elements into your system, then, is what it does.
Well, that's the primary purpose, but there's probably other secondary things that vitamin D does. Since it is a fat-soluble vitamin, I'm sure a lot of it winds up in our cell walls. We know, you know, our cells are made up of a lipid bilayer, so they're made up of fats, and the vitamin would fit nicely, you know, in your cell wall structure. Since it's a kind of a kinky molecule, like vitamin E, for example, it would make our cell walls, if you've got enough of it, more fluid, for example. And more fluid cell walls means that you can the cells are going to work more efficiently, because it'd be easier to pass things, you know, through toxins out and nutrients in, for example, mm-hmm. into the cell wall. You don't want a very stiff cell wall, because you know the cells would be sluggish. It's would be almost like, you know, eating fat fried foods. You feel kind of sluggish. Well, mm-hmm. it's because your body that is absorbing those saturated fats make your cell walls move very, very slowly. I mean, it's not fluid anymore.
I know that feeling. Now I know why.
Yeah. So, our stomach is saying, wait a minute, I don't know about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those French fries tasted good, but, you mm-hmm. know, we start to feel real sluggish real soon after consuming it. And, you know, of course, if we consume too much, then our cells are really, you know, slowing down, and things aren't working the way they're supposed to. So maybe, and I'm conjecturing here, maybe part of the function of vitamin D in fighting cancer, for example, is actually keeping your cells healthy, and not allowing the cell to go rogue on you, because mm-hmm. cancer is nothing but your own cell that has lost control.
Okay.
And so vitamin D may play a role, whether directly or indirectly, in actually the control of the cell.
Well, on this bottle, label says that vitamin D helps maintain strong bones and supports the immune system. Now, I have another thought here. Does it have anything to do with mood? Because my understanding is that people you spend a lot of time in Seattle. A lot of days, a lot of cloudy days, a lot of rain up there, and people... probably taking vitamin D supplements, I'll bet, like crazy up there. Does it affect mood?
Well, light exposure actually affects mood, or the lack thereof.
So not vitamin D specifically, then.
Yeah, and too high a concentration of carbon dioxide affects mood in the negative way. You can get depressed for having too high of carbon dioxide. And so... that's what happens when there's not enough sunlight. You get a very high concentration of carbon dioxide, because the trees aren't doing their business, because mm-hmm. they're not getting any light, so gotcha. They're not going through photosynthesis mm-hmm. and not taking the carbon dioxide, turning them into sugars and releasing oxygen in the process.
Uh-huh.
It just so happens that the West Coast right now is under a drought, so mm-hmm. they're getting plenty of sunshine
mm-hmm.
at the moment. But we're getting a lot of rain. The mood is more affected by the carbon dioxide.
So you guys are depressed, and they're a little giddy out on the West Coast then.
Well, they're having a grand time. Yeah. And we're fighting to get enough vitamin D here.
Apparently, according to the McCullough article, it's not there's not a danger in having too much, but there is a danger in having too little. And with a government specification for 600 international units a day, they say the trouble is that you can buy vitamin D supplements, so you can take care of yourself that way. You can supplement your own, you know, personal diet with vitamin D. However, it says that the government's RDA's recommended daily required daily amount. Okay. Daily. But it affects allowance. Government programs, military meals, meals for the elderly, and school lunch programs that have to go by the government standards. So there's a problem.
Oh, there is a problem. But, you know, this type of research was done, you know, back in the war days. I mean, mm-hmm. back in the 30s and the 40s, when they were trying to figure out, well, how much of this stuff do we need to keep our soldiers, you know, healthy, and not only vitamin D, but, you know, pretty much all the vitamins and the minerals. A lot of the nutritional research was going on. And so you come up with the wrong recommendation, then you've got decades worth of history that you kind of have to erase. And you know, now how do you give these folks enough vitamin D to keep them healthy? It could be a problem, but we can certainly do something about it. Mm-hmm. And you know, we can take as you are, you know, the 5,000 units. And if you're in the northern part, I would take 10,000 units.
Take two of them,
at least,
so. Okay.
To, you know, spread out maybe morning mm-hmm. and evening. Mm-hmm. I would make sure that you're also getting K2, because vitamin K2 is also important in this whole absorption process and working together with vitamin D. And not a lot is said about K2, but you actually, you know, your vitamin D won't work unless you have K2 along with it.
Now where do you get K2? I mean, aside from supplements, I assume you can buy supplements, but what kind of foods would you eat to get vitamin K?
It would probably be in green leafy, you know, vegetables. Okay. Kale probably has a lot in it.
Oh, somehow I knew you were going to say kale. Kale is all over these days.
Yeah.
There must be an American Association of Kale Growers who's been very successful with their promotions and advertising. Because we're getting, even McDonald's is introducing kale. Yeah, okay.
But spinach probably has it. Other, you know, dark green leafy mm-hmm. vegetables probably have a lot of vitamin K.
Okay.
And, you know, eggs probably have some K. I'm not 100% sure on that. But, you know, you can buy vitamin A supplements with vitamin K incorporated in
vitamin
it.
A
so
and
you
K.
take you can take both of them at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, all these supplements, you know, I get a little frustrated because you go out and say, okay, well, you need this supplement and you need that supplement and you're not taking enough of this. And do you need calcium? Well, no, you don't need calcium. You need magnesium. And, mm-hmm. and you wind up taking, you know, 10 pills or 10 capsules, you know, in the morning and four at night. And, mm-hmm. you know, you say, well, you know, can't somebody just make make one capsule that has everything I need in it?
Yeah.
And I don't have to be, you know, or at least, you know, I'll take a drink. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. put it into a liquid formulation where I can just take an ounce here and there mm-hmm. and do my body good. But
Have you found such a thing?
No, I haven't. Okay. So I'm.
Well, I think the idea is I think it boils down to marketing. You spend a lot more. If I were to open a kitchen cupboard door, which I did this morning to get this bottle of vitamin D, there is a forest of little white plastic jars in there. Labels turned. It would take me a half an hour to take an inventory and see what's there. And frankly, I have to wonder if what the bottle says is in there is really in there. Because I don't have a whole lot.
Obviously, it depends.
And I wonder what is the
quality of.
Well, and what is the shelf life? What is the shelf life of a vitamin? If I go out and buy a bottle of multivitamins, which I have done many times in the past, and it's been sitting on the store shelf for a month and a half, and now I have a 3 month supply up there. Is it still as potent as it was, as it needs to be?
It depends on which vitamin you're talking about, and what, you know, which, I mean, the minerals are going to stay around, you know, forever.
Okay.
But, a lot of these things, obviously, are organic molecules, and they can get oxidized. Mm-hmm. So if it's exposed to air, it'll be oxidized. It won't be as useful as the unoxidized form, the natural form. And so, the best thing is to keep your vitamins in the dark and in a cool place. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put them on the windowsill and get them exposed to sun and to heat.
Not a good idea, huh?
Yeah, no, not a good idea. Okay. If you keep them in a cool place, then that would be a good thing.
So you think I can have the confidence that if I buy it and bring it home, at that point, it has the full potency that's listed on the label?
Well, typically I was in the pharmaceutical industry and the biopharmaceutical industry for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And what you do is, for example, you might, if the label says it's got, let's take vitamin D. If it says it's got 5,000 international units of vitamin D, then when you manufacture it, you might manufacture it at 5,500 international units, knowing that over, let's say, a 2-year period or over the shelf life, and typically 2 years is a standard kind of shelf life.
That's the number I wanted to hear. Yeah, so you can get like a 10% loss over that shelf life then.
Right, and then it might go down to 4,500 by the time, after 2 years. So that's what typically is done with these things. It's much more regulated, obviously, in the pharmaceutical industry than it is in the food industry or the supplement industry. But if they're using pharmaceutical standards, that's what they would do.
Now, you're turning out to be quite an authority on vitamins here. There's a vitamin A. There's vitamin B. Several vitamin B's, I think.
Several vitamin B's.
C, D, and E. Is there a vitamin F?
That's a good question.
Is there a vitamin G? See what I'm getting at here? You just told us about vitamin K. I mean, what happened to the vitamins in between? Don't we need those?
These are deep and probing questions that
people want to know. Inquiring minds want to know about this stuff.
I think the journalists at the Washington Post would be happy to write down the answers to these questions. Yeah,
okay.
Very good. The vitamin K, as long as you brought it up.
Actually, there is a vitamin F.
Oh, okay.
Really?
All it's right. called essential fatty acids.
Well, I've already got enough of those, I think.
I had read one place that there's a lot of vitamin K in tomatoes. I'm looking at...
Vitamin G is riboflavin.
Oh, it is. There is a vitamin G.
Oh, okay.
B too.
We just don't hear very much about it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry, David.
Yeah, that's all right. Red and green grapes are high in vitamin K as well.
Oh, good. Okay, we got some of those.
So if the wine thing doesn't work out, you can at least top off your vitamin
K. Vitamin K capsules there. You could do that.
They recommend.
If the vitamin K carries through. In the wine, probably in the red wine, it probably would.
I wonder if it does, yeah.
Gee, we haven't even talked about minerals yet, but that's another whole area of discussion, and I'm sure there's some more Mercola articles on minerals, too. I just one tidbit of information I want to contribute, and actually ask you to verify this, if you've heard the same thing, Don, is that when they discovered how to add iron fortification to foods back in the 30s and 40s, the marketing people got a hold of this, and then everything had iron. Iron fortified this, cereals and milk, and everything had iron in it. Only to discover in the 50s and 60s that an excess of iron led to prostate cancer. And now was a leading cause of things like prostate cancer and perhaps some other cancers as well. How much do we really know about what the body needs in the way of vitamins and minerals? Can we be confident that this research is good?
Well, that's a good question, because, like I said, a lot of this research was done in the 30s and 40s, World War II
in particular, yeah.
And we have much more sophisticated techniques, these days for measuring very minute quantities of things. Mm-hmm. But nutritional research is going on all the time, and I think it's just a matter of, trying to stay up with the current research. And websites like the Mercola website does a very good job of that, and you can probably you know, do searches on anything nutritional-wise that you might have a question about, and he's probably got an article on it. Okay. So that would probably be, you know, my approach if you were really interested in this area.
And a wealth of links in there to the studies that feed his articles, too, I mean, and advertisements. So you can learn a lot on the McCalla website. That you know, you read some of these things, and you think, well, this guy is making a living. He's an iconoclast. He's ripping apart every dietary standard, every nutritional notion that we have here. But he backs it up apparently with some good research. There's some videos too that that tell the story. And we will link to this vitamin D article on the podcast up on Broken Road Radio this morning. That'll go up in about an hour and a half or so, and you'll have access to the whole conversation with Dr. Don. And you can link to the McCalla article and check some of this information out for yourself. So. Vitamin D, and I guess the best thing up here is David, you and I being living next to our computer should like stand up every now and then and walk outside, and we would time it for like 5 minutes, then we'd go back inside do a little work, and then go back. We could accumulate our 20 minutes a day in small portions. That would work, wouldn't it, Don?
Yeah, that would be okay. That'd be good. Walk outside. Actually, you know, since you live in a cold, cold compared to where we are,
to almost everywhere.
You could chop down a tree, and then every day just, you know, chop up the tree for firewood. You'd get your exercise, you get your cardio workout, and you know, if you wear a short sleeve shirt, for example, you'd get a little bit of exposure to the sunlight. Okay. And build up your vitamin that way.
I wonder if the DNR would approve of that practice, David. Do you suppose?
Oh, I think that's not a problem. I don't. I think they're fine with cutting down trees. Okay. I think that's a good thing.
Don't use a chainsaw.
In
order to get your cardio workout, you have to use an axe.
Swing an axe. I think so.
Don Clark,
a member of the board of Creation Moments, and. At home
Can
and
I
garden.
One more question?
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll make it quick. This is on a totally different
topic.
Important.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, a totally different topic, and it's about supplements and vitamins and stuff. But you know, Jim and I have been talking about. It's just kind of like brought back old memories.
Yeah, I'm afraid it did. You get rid of those, yeah.
Jim and I have been talking. Bob is a former head announcer that I used to work with a couple of thousand years ago. Jim and I have been talking about bee pollen for a while, and its effect on allergies. And I just started taking some, and everybody I've talked to that's ever even heard of bee pollen says, I said, how much do you take? And he says, oh, I don't know. Take it till you can't stand it anymore, and then stop. But I'm up to about a tablespoon three times a day. That seems excessive. It's only been a week, so far I really haven't. I've noticed a little bit of softening
for fighting
of symptoms,
allergies,
but,
yeah. Okay.
But I've got a feeling that might be because it's been raining a lot. Do you know anything about bee pollen and its effect on allergies?
Yeah, it's one of those things in the natural food kind of armamentarian where, okay, yeah, I mean, the obviously the bee. Now, here's the thing about bee pollen. You have to get the bee pollen from your area.
Right.
Because those are the things that you, obviously the pollen that you would be exposed to. If you buy something from here from the south, and you know, when you come down, you know, for a trip or something, that'd be great, but you know, it doesn't help you where you live. So you got to get the bee pollen you know, where you live. You're building up antibodies is what you're doing to the pollen. You're kind of taking it, and it's like getting you know, immune shots when you go to a doctor that's going to help with your allergies. He will try to find out what you're allergic to, and then give you doses of that particular allergen, it's called, and so that you can build up a resistance, if you will, to that particular allergen. So that's kind of the same thing you're doing with the bee pollen, is you're hoping this is more natural way of, you know, building up your allergy to it.
Check the label, David. Does it say made in China? Or is it?
Well, it's in a plastic bag.
Oh, okay. That's probably good local stuff.
It's got a little label that's been typed, but it doesn't say where exactly it came from, and nobody in the store knew either.
Okay.
But my assumption is if it's in a plastic bag, it couldn't have gotten very far.
Can't be bad. Don, we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate you dropping in.
Okay, very good. Y'all have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Don.